We're heading straight to Syria now. There are reports that several buses en route to evacuate the sick and injured from two government-held villages in Idlib province have been burned by rebels. Pro-government forces demanding people be allowed to leave the mainly Shia villages in order for the evacuation of eastern Aleppo to continue. Thousands of people are waiting to leave in freezing conditions with little or no food. Nick Finney is country director for Save the Children in northwestern Syria, but he joins me on the line from the Turkish city of Antakya, which is close to this Turkey-Syria border. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Haiti.
Are you able to confirm these reports about the buses en route to Idlib province being burnt by rebel groups?
Yeah, this has certainly happened through the course of today. We've heard this from several sources, and we've received photographs as well. So we're quite sure that this has happened. And we also have had a report that one of the drivers of one of the buses was unfortunately killed in this incident as well. So the worrying issue here beyond the incident itself is what might it do to the ongoing negotiations on which a lot of people's immediate fate hinges.
Can you help us understand why rebel groups might be doing this?
Well, it's actually been condemned by a number of different rebel groups. I think it's important to understand that the Syrian opposition and the various different armed groups in northern Syria have some shifting allegiances. Not all of them get on, and it appears that the incident today was caused by some extremist factions in this area. So it's unfortunate because, of course, it sets things back again. And we received in the last 10 minutes, actually, some suggestion that there may actually be a possibility of some people moving tonight. And we need to get confirmation about whether or not that might happen. So various groups are earnestly trying to negotiate something, and we just have to await further news as to how that goes. And this makes us very anxious. Obviously, huge numbers of people, civilians, children across eastern Aleppo, but also many other locations in Syria, really are depending on a deal coming off. And this couldn't come a moment too soon.
So just to unpack, though, this particular situation for our listeners, the rebel groups are, many of them are sort of extremist Sunni groups. They're targeting buses in this instance that were due to evacuate Shia villages in Idlib province. And this was a condition that had been demanded by the Syrian government for evacuations to take place in eastern Aleppo. Can you explain that for us?
That's right. And exactly as you've said, there are a number of besieged areas. Eastern Aleppo is one of many. Some of these are besieged by actually the opposition. Many are besieged by the government. So you could see the deal that parties are trying to strike at the moment as being almost an exchange program. So you release our people and we'll release yours. And the fate of the people in eastern Aleppo has become caught up in this whole process. And unfortunately, you know, we see again that there are aspects of what's happening where the conflict has a distinct sectarian note to it, which is not a good sign.
And Idlib province, how much of that is in government control, if any?
Very little, actually. Really, only these two villages, Fur and Kafraya, which are predominantly Sunni, and Shia areas, and the rest is under the control of various different opposition groups.
And so do we know how many civilians, genuine civilians, are trapped in opposition-held areas? We've been told that since last week, 8,000 people have left Aleppo.
That's right. So in the remainder of Aleppo, we have between 40 and 50,000 people who still remain trapped. In Fur and Kafraya, several thousand remain trapped. And the deal that is being made at the moment is to try to evacuate the sick and wounded people from that population in exchange for a number of people being released from eastern Aleppo. There's actually some very specific numbers have been released, which we got this morning. There would be three waves of evacuation after people from Fur and Kafraya were released. There was to be a release of the same number of people from eastern Aleppo, followed by two other waves of release. So it had been carefully planned, and this morning we hoped it was going to continue as planned. But unfortunately, with this incident with the buses, I can't say we're back to zero, but it's a setback. And let's hope some agreement can be reached very quickly.
I notice, reading particularly over the weekend, huge amounts of sort of claim and counterclaim about what the reality is on the ground in northern Syria, specifically Aleppo. You know, people mounting very strong arguments saying, you know, don't be fooled by the Aleppo narrative. Don't be fooled by the claims about the numbers of people. You know, don't be fooled about the Western narrative around this. From someone that is sort of working so closely on this particular issue and dealing with individuals, what's your take on the sort of contentiousness of the facts on the ground?
Well, it's very difficult, and there's a propaganda machine supporting every side in this conflict. So I think it'd be fair to say that a lot of information can be distorted. We can confidently say, through Save the Children's experience, that civilians are the ones that are suffering on all sides of this conflict. Children and other vulnerable groups are, you know, really getting the brunt of this. And a lot of the information that you're seeing and hearing, we are very confident, is not being fabricated. There is a huge amount of suffering, including in eastern Aleppo in the last few weeks. And, you know, there's a lot of distortions. We need to, as an organization that's responding on the ground, we need to check everything five times over. That's just what you need to do in this type of situation. And it's very difficult, but it's got to be done, because these distortions are happening on all sides, and the propaganda is happening on all sides. But for us as an agency, with the contacts we have on the ground and with the Syrian NGO partners that we're working with, we can triangulate and validate until we're sure of what's happening and take the right course of action. So when you're closer to the events and when you're mapped into various networks, it's possible to get an accurate picture. Okay. Relatively easily.
The French put forward a resolution to be looked at for the UN Security Council. The Russians have described it as a mess. I know that key elements of it involved civilians only being evacuated voluntarily. The final destination should be of their choice. Is there any potential, do you think, for a constructive approach to a resolution? You know, could we end up seeing international monitors deployed, for example?
My belief is that something has to give. There's so much political pressure on the Security Council to find a solution. There has to be some way to do this, and we have to be optimist and hope that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The needs at the moment are quite straightforward, continued ceasefire and evacuations to safe areas. But of course, this is just a short-term fix for the plight of people in these besieged areas, including eastern Aleppo, and the fate of people who are entwined in this terrible conflict more generally still hangs on a political solution somehow. And it goes much beyond the huge issues that people face in these besieged areas. That there needs to be some kind of way forward that's negotiated at the international level that brings peace and the hope of some kind of reconciliation.
Okay, Nick Finney, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Nick Finney is Save the Children's Northwest Syria Country Director. It is 21 minutes past 6. You're listening to RN Breakfast.